Some names are just begging to be adopted by drag queens, drag kings, and other colorful shapeshifters. Robin Banks, Pooping, I'm a Hog, Peter Gozania, or is he hung?
So what happens when two drag queens in the same city come up with the same name at the same time? Who gets to keep the exclusive rights to that name?
My name is Nikki Jizz, and I own 51% of this name. Today, San Francisco drag queen Nikki Jizz, that's Jazz with an I, joins us to tell us about how a drag queen came for her drag name while performing in one of Peach's Crisis shows, and how black drag queens and their allies are organizing to put pressure on gay bars to fight racism and undo years of harmful policies and people.
Plus, is Lady Gaga trying to kill us all?
And trans TV and film pioneer Jen Richards gets cast as a detective in CBS's new series, Clarice.
Oh wait, is that based on Silence of the Lambs?
Yes, sir. It's based on Silence of the Lambs. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous people just like you. And by our friends at Spanx.com.
For a limited time, Spanx is offering Feast of Fun listeners 10% off their order on Spanx.com. Use the code FEAST at checkout. That's SPANX.com with promo code FEAST for 10% off your order today.
Hello?
Miss Jizz, Miss Nikki Jizz, table for one.
Load for one, everyone. I have arrived. Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Nikki. This is Fausto.
And Mark from Feast of Fun. I'm so glad to talk to you today.
Oh, same here. Thanks so much for having me. I feel really honored. I appreciate you guys taking your time to talk to little old me.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, thank Peaches Christ. She's the one who recommended you. I saw
I love her.
A post on Facebook, and she's like, who should we talk to? And Peach was like, Nikki Jizz. And I was just like, I saw the name. I was just like, Jizz? All right. She shoots. She scores.
Yeah, she does. And she swallows. Peaches is a sweetheart. I love her so much. And it's been really great working with her over the past few years. And she's been such a big inspiration to San Francisco drag and myself. So that's so sweet of her.
She asked me to ask you about the first time she ever tried to hire you.
Oh God. Yes. That time. Yeah. Do you want to talk about it now or when?
We could talk about it after the show's over.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you all the tea.
Listen,
it's crazy.
Put Peaches on blast. She can handle it. After all, from the house.
She can handle
more. More power, more scandal,
more cowbell.
Yes, exactly. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was, that was maybe 3-4 years ago. I had a memory pop up about it a while ago, but.
That usually happens when I'm throwing out the trash, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're talking about, a Facebook memory.
Oh, wait a minute. We're talking about Heclina. We're talking about Peaches.
Oh, no, exactly. I mean, they're all trash, but it's different things.
But so you got your start by dancing for Peaches Crisis Showgirls production. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so that wasn't the first time I actually was booked. That one's like a volunteer. I hadn't done drag yet at this point. So for Peaches Crisis Showgirls event, what they do is they ask for volunteers to sign up to give lap dances to all the audience members who buy a large popcorn. So I was like, sure, I'm down for that. I love giving people lap dances. I was like, I might find a new husband. So I signed up for it, and they had a part to ask, what is your stage name? And I was like, I don't have a stage name. And I had a coworker who was like, what about Nikki Jizz? And I was like, okay. I was like, sure. So I went with that, and I go-go dance and gave lap dances for Peaches Showgirls show. And then I go-go dance a little bit after that under that name. And then when I started doing drag, maybe less than a year later, I was like, I might as well just use Nikki Jizz. I like that. And then, yeah, It's been a wild 6 years as Nikki.
And so is that the story that Peaches was asking me to ask you about?
No, that is not the story. There's even more drama.
I'm sorry. Fausto seems frustrated. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I have jokes to make and you're interrupting the jokes. That's okay. I'll insert them after the fact.
Put it in.
Well, Nikki, I don't know what it is that you do or what you're good at, but if it's at one of Peach's crisis shows, it's certainly not dancing. Oh, damn it.
I did some things. I made it work. Yeah, whatever, to get the role.
So were you nervous the first time? Because, you know, it's a bit of a wild crowd and, you know, people can be a little gratuitous with your courtesies.
Yes. Actually, not really. Not for me. I have always been very, I was always a star, and I was like very like seeking attention. And I used to do dances and plays in front of like all family members. So like being like put on the spot was like nothing for me. And I've always been a very overtly sexual person. I mean, that's why Nikki Jizz fits so perfectly for me.
But to clarify, this is not the scandal that started your relationship with Peaches.
No, that is not the scandal that started my relationship. The scandal that started the whole thing with Peaches Christ is they were doing a production of Death Becomes Her, which is one of my favorite movies in the whole entire world. Like, it is gay canon. It's just so good. I love the camp, everything about it. I love it. So she was doing Death Becomes Her, and it was with Bendela Creme and Jinx Monsoon. And she booked it. And then the thing is, what I forgot to mention, there used to be another drag queen in San Francisco named Nikki Jizz.
What?
Oh, shit.
Well, yes. I've had conversations with Peaches about drag queens taking other drag queens' names.
Yes.
It's very bad luck.
And I, as a matter of fact, I was a conversation with Fausto, Peaches Christ, and with McStoll, because we know a person who is calling herself Candy Darling. And
oh,
McStoll,
no.
It was like steam came out of her ears, and they were just like, this drag queen must burn. So
well, I think you're inviting basically like disaster when you name yourself after a too soon departed drag queen whose ghost is literally haunting drag shows, and she you know, decide to help you get off that stage a little quicker than you're ready for.
And I feel like now that you're mentioning this, I feel like Peaches has kind of said something like this, and maybe even on this podcast about it. But do go on.
Wait. So who stole whose name?
I don't know if anyone stole anyone's name. I don't think any of us knew about each other. Like, no one knew about each other and their name. Because it's not a drag pun. That's the thing about it. Nikki Jizz, there's no pun to it.
Yeah, it's not like Sharon Needles or I Need a Man, right?
Exactly. There's a million Anita something. But they're, like, the Nikki Jizz thing, it makes... That was just, my name is Nick, like, and I just added an I to it and threw on my favorite dessert. So, it was very weird. So... Technically, they use it as their drag name first, but I use it at the Peaches Christ showgirls before they did. So I had the name first, but I didn't do drag under that name before.
So was she mad at you? Like, did she call you up and say, hey, whatever your name is?
There's not enough room for two jizzes in this city.
I'm the first jizz that's come here.
They were the first semen to make it to the egg. I had heard about them, and I was like, oh my God. But I was like, it was already months into me already doing drag. And I was like, I don't want to change my name. And I was like, well, whatever. And then she messaged me one day, and she was like, how do we have the same name and live in the same city? And I was like, I don't know. It's a small world. She was like, well, all my clients have heard about you. And I was like, well, no one's heard about you, honey. I was like, there's some shade. Because she was like, started being shady to me. And then she told me to change my name. And she gave me options. She gave me like four different names. She was like, what about Nikki Jizzy or Onika Jizz or like all these other names. I was like, well, those sound great for you, but like, I'm Nikki Jizz and I'm not changing.
And so that's when you strangled her to death?
And then that's when I strangled her and threw her off the Golden Gate Bridge. Yes.
Oh my God. And that is the story we did. Yeah. You didn't know.
And so how did this resolve? Is it resolved?
It eventually got resolved, but the craziness with the Peaches thing hadn't even happened yet. So time went by. Like, we would get tagged as each other on like events. Oh, because God. She would spell her name N-I-K-K-I. Mine is N-I-C-K-I. So people would like confuse us. And anyways, that happened here and there. She mostly did Kashra. I was more of a Soma and everywhere else kind of girl. So we didn't really run in circles. We never performed together. And then I found out I saw that she got booked by Beaches Christ to do Death Becomes Her. She got booked for that. And I was like, oh fuck, I wish I had that gig. Also because it's one of my favorite movies. And, you know, I've always wanted to do a Peaches Christ production at this point.
Yeah.
And then I find out from my friends who work with Peaches, who like work on this, they're like, girl, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but like, Peaches actually meant to book you for a show. She meant to book you. And then when she looked up and typed in Nikki Jizz, she found her, messaged her, and the girl was like, yeah, I'm totally down.
Oh my God.
And then when she showed up for rehearsals, that's when they realized they had the wrong Nikki Jizz. She walks in and then they're like, who are you? And she's like, oh, I'm Nikki Jizz. And they're like,
oh.
And
oh
like,
my God.
Literally dog drop.
That is a scandal.
No one told her at the time, like, no one told her, but all my friends who, like, worked with Peaches on the production, like, messaged me. They're like, girl, like, she meant to get you. And, like, Peaches felt bad and, like, let her have it. And I was, like, livid. I was, like, after I found out, I was, like, that was for me. And then it made me think, how many other gigs did she get because of me?
So then your lawyers got a hold of her and you're like, I own 51% of this name and you have a cease and desist order to stop using
it. I've copyrighted Jizz now. So anything that has Jizz on it, half a Pornhub, I own her that.
So she was stealing gigs that were meant for you because people thought they were getting, do you guys look like each other?
No, we don't look anything. She's of Asian descent.
I wanted the black one, not the Asian one.
Yeah. So, but I don't know if she took many gigs. I just know, I don't know. I don't want to spread rumors. I don't want to say she took all my gigs or anything. I'm saying she took this one gig. That is what I know. And it sucked. And Peaches like messaged me. She was like, I am so sorry. I will make it up for you, like make it up to you. And it was like, it was heartbreaking. But eventually right after that, the girl, I guess she found out afterwards and she was like dropping the Jizz because is officially over it. And now she goes by Nikki J.
Oh, because there's a Nikki Jizz with 2 K's on Twitter and she does not look like a drag queen.
No, yeah, I see her too. Oh, yeah. Trust me. I found about that girl on Venmo because somebody was like, is this you on Venmo when they were trying to tip me once? I was like, no, don't give her my money.
She has an OnlyFans. This one does.
Yes. Yeah. Well, who doesn't at this point?
You know?
Yeah. It's like,
I'm thinking about it.
So right now we're waiting for the stimulus checks. Might as well stimulate other parts of our body and make some money.
Exactly. Check. Stimulus. Is it there? Is it hard? Check.
So you won the battle of the jizz, basically.
Well, not quite.
Not quite. Why?
Because now Nikki Jizz that we're speaking to had to change her name on Twitch to Jazz.
Yeah, I saw that last night. I was able to tune into your SF Studs Chicago show. Is that what it was last night?
Oh, so last night was a show that I host with my friend Florida Man. It is a drag competition show that we do every other Tuesday on Twitch on the Studs account. Mm-hmm. And it's called Turbo Pageant. It's a, you know, 4 week long drag competition that we have 16 competitors. It's really fun. And then somebody wins $400 at the end of it.
Well, and then I saw your name on there as like Nikki Jazz. And I was just like, I guess Twitch doesn't like jizz so much.
I know. So yeah, Twitch won't allow me to say on like certain parts of it, it won't allow the word jizz like at all. So I had to like, I just threw in Jazz, which is like a a running joke sometimes. So people are like, oh, Nikki Jazz.
Yeah, we might have to do that with this podcast too.
Jazz hot it's baby. Like,
yeah.
No, listen. Yeah.
Exercise.
Well, if we do it all one word, maybe, yeah. Or you do pig Latin. And Nikki
is Jay.
Is Jay. Yes. Nikki Jay is Jay.
Yeah, it was really funny. The Stud Bar, which is where my home bar that I always performed at in San Francisco, recently had to close during COVID time. So they closed and people went there on pride and like they painted over the building. It was really sad. They painted it a horrible beige. But on pride, all these people went there and like spray painted it all over it and wrote like all these beautiful messages. And then someone wrote on the building, Nikki Giz was here, and they spelled my name completely wrong. It was like N-I-K-K-I-G-I-Z-Z. And I went there and I took a picture of it. I was like, it was close, but not right. But it was the sentiment that matters.
Let's talk about this year's game-changing Valentine's gift. Spanx is changing the underwear game for men. After 10-plus years of innovation and design, the experts at Spanx have created the most comfortable men's undershirts and underwear. With top control and crotch comfort, these new better base layers are the total package, available in three levels of support, Zero Sculpt, Sculpt, and Ultra Sculpt. Pick the type of compression you want.
Let's talk about our go-to Zero Sculpt. I cannot express how yummy this fabric is. It's better than any box of chocolates or flowers. Trust us when we say, once he tries it on, he'll never take it off. The best part, sweating it, chilling it, wash it, and repeat. If your Valentine's doesn't love it, then you can return it for a full refund within 90 days of purchase. Plus, Spanx offers free shipping and returns on all orders.
For a limited time, Spanx is offering Feast of Fun listeners 10% off their order on Spanx.com. Just use the code FEAST at checkout. That's SPANX.com with the promo code FEAST for 10% off your order today.
That's Spanx.com. Use the promo code FEAST for 10% off. So considering that you guys are doing like streaming shows called Reparations, as you said, making folks monetizing. I can't even say that
monetizing.
Word. I'm so broke, I can't even say monetizing correctly. Monetizing white folks' guilt about racism.
Yeah, totally. That's
for fun.
That's
and
what
profit.
We're all here about. That's what I'm here about. Reparations is a new baby of mine that I created during this pandemic times. I brought it together in June of 2020.
Yeah.
And I premiered it on Twitch for Juneteenth. And if you don't know, Juneteenth is like an official freedom day for Black people from slavery. It was like the last time, like the last day where slaves were officially set free.
Texas,
emancipation wasn't shit.
Yeah. Well, what is it?
It was in Texas. Yes.
They passed legislation, the amendment.
Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
They didn't get the message in Texas until like June 18th, right?
Yeah, they didn't let them know until like so much later because they wanted to still get the harvest done. So
if you look at America's private prisons, they still haven't gotten the message.
Exactly. I mean, when people say like, slavery's done, I was like, no, it's that fucking maximum prison that is still slavery. That's still happening.
So how it's been pretty well received, right? Because you're dedicating a spotlight to Black drag queens and Indigenous drag queens, and giving them some money, honey.
Yes. I do it every third Friday on Twitch, and it's been really great. I've been doing it since June, and it's always it's always a Black cast, an all Black cast. For November, it was right around Thanksgiving, so for that. To celebrate Indigenous folks, I did an half Black, half Indigenous cast to give back to, you know, Native folks who have dealt with, you know, same abuse and inequality and land stolen, all the horrible shit that America does to us.
And did you invite the Nikki J to perform? You're like,
yes,
not you, but everyone except her.
I was like, not you. Oh, no. We have not talked since like I've never actually met her. So that one day it'll happen. Maybe one day we'll meet and maybe it'll be the first hug I give out after this pandemic.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Drag queen of color on drag queen of color violence needs to stop.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, I've been loving doing reparations. I've been doing it for so, I'm working on my 9th episode right now. It's been really fun. I've been working with this artist named Broobs who does all my artwork for it. And I've been putting like amplifying black artists. It's not just drag queens or kings. It's burlesque. It's musicians, DJs. If you're black and you got a talent and you want to show it, I'll put you on my show. And it's been really fun. I've had like some big names, like baby queens, anything. And I like to amplify and show off our SF girls as well, girls and guys and all our performers, and just put a spotlight on black lives and black artists.
And have you had any like racist white Republican drag queens be like, all drag queens matter?
Oh God. I did have somebody once like pop up in the middle of a stream, but like everyone in my chat, like immediately shut that down and then they were like blocked. But it usually doesn't happen. A lot of people, like I make all these commercials for them, like these video ads.
Yeah.
Where a lot of my videos, it talks about like, are you suffering from bouts of white guilt? I was like, well, you should be, because there's no vaccine for that. So I like really go into it and I talk about like, I just, in my videos, I literally just like make fun of all the stuff. I was like, put your money where your black square is, because, you know, like that whole black square thing on Instagram was garbage.
What I didn't was that, understand that. All about? So at the height of the Black Lives Matter movement this past spring of 2020, people expressed their solidarity by posting a black square on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all the drag, everybody I know, including ourselves, Peaches, did it. And then people like had mixed feelings about it, right?
Yeah. I get that like there was a moment of solidarity for it. But like a lot of the things that happened with it is like some people posted that and then their feed went back to normal. It was back to thirst traps. It was back to their memes. And it was like, oh, look, I did this. Like I hopped on this trend. I did this. But then their feeds went back to, you know, here's my Chromatica jockstrap. You know, it's like
here's Lady Gaga's Chromatica Oreo cookies.
Yeah, exactly.
Without like any black in it, by the way.
Exactly. What the kind of shit is that? So it was more of that kind of thing. It was like also like your feed was being ran over with blacks, you know, black squares. So it kind of forced all the, you know, stuff that is happening and like, you know, the news of like, you know, the protests, everything like that. It kind of pushed everything down as well. So,
the black square phenomena actually had the opposite impact, that it kind of tended to silence black voices.
I feel like it. Yeah, the black news, it did that. I get the sentiment behind it, but I think it was just, it backfired. And, you know, I mean, posting a square is, that's one thing, but like we need bodies. We need people out there making a change and protesting. And, you know, like that's really like how posting something on Instagram isn't going to change anything.
Well, President Biden's in office. Problem solved. Yeah. Racism is over. And we can go back to eating Lady Gaga's Chromatica Oreo cookies.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. I was joking with someone about that. They're like, oh, it's going to be a new year in 2020. I was like, girl, it's like New Year, same racism. Like, nothing's changing.
Well, the part of it is, you know, it's so damning seeing these videos of people being mercilessly attacked by the police. And in a lot of ways, the you know, being stuck at home during the quarantine, during pandemic, it allowed America to really, like, open their eyes and, you know, see this violence that other people experience all the time.
Yeah. And that is like that. I feel like there's been very few silver linings with the pandemic where it's like people actually have the time to see everything. Yeah. People can't be like, they're not being distracted by work or all these other things. They're stuck at home and they're being forced and actually have to see these things and actually have feelings and have responses and actually have the time to, you know, give a damn, you know? Like, I think that is, like, one of the few positive things in this is that people like were forced to do this. They had time. Like, you're not at work. You can now you have time to do research. You have time to see like all the injustices that are happening, and you can't just like keep on moving and go back to work, you know.
In a certain sense, it kind of gives people the room to breathe and to be able to really think about it and take it all in.
Yeah, totally.
And I was interested to talk to you a bit about your Bay Area Queer Nightlife Coalition, where you a group of you, it's a newly formed group of LGBT people, LGBTQ people, and you rated the Castro and Soma bars on how inclusive they were and how safe they were. And you actually got some of the owners and managers to show up for this.
For like a live stream.
To talk about it. And what was the reaction from the bar owners and managers and the community on this episode?
It was mixed reviews. It was mixed things, period. It was, some of it was good and some was very like problematic and actually just showed like the problems, and some of the bar owners did not own up to anything. They just kind of just proved the fact that why they had such poor ratings. So pretty much what happened was the Bay Area Queer Nightlife Coalition, the BAQNC, yes, they came together and did a survey and had people in San Francisco rate all the bars, giving them like whether you feel safe, inclusive, accessibility, like people of color, everything. And they gave everyone a rating. And when they did the live feed and actually had people come, like a town hall, they had people come on from main representatives from each of those bars and had people who had problems or situations at each of those bars address the bar owners and tell them, like, these are the things that, you know, I've had patrons call me the N-word and call me out of my name. I've had, you know, like, definitely, like, you know, there's been different, like, you know, glass ceilings with people of color where we don't get paid as much, or that happened. So there was like maybe two bars that were actually got off, like, in, were seen in a positive light. And then everyone else was bars? Like,
we should give them a shout out.
The Stud Bar had the highest rating. The Stud Bar is like, has the most diverse and queerest ownership. Mm. It's a collective that is owned by 17 or 19 people, and it's a very diverse group of people from queer, trans, non-binary, drag queens, everything, people of color, and it's my favorite place in the whole entire world, and it's sad that they had to close down.
And we're working its on ratings went up when they got rid of Heclina, right?
Yes, exactly. Like, everything changed.
Well, so the Stud Bar, the actual physical location, is closed, but it's going to reopen right when the pandemic is over. Is that what the idea is?
The idea is that they're saving up to buy a new location so that to purchase a new location to open up. They won't be opening up in that same place. And we don't know when things will open up. Like, I know they're working on getting a new space. Mm. But for the time being, there's nothing set in stone.
We had a meet and greet in a live podcast there back in, what year was that, 2007?
There were other actors playing our roles on Feast of Fun. Because we're too young to have been around that time. So we were still in high school at the time. But so we did a show there at the Stud. And it was a live podcast, and our guest star was Heclina, who decided not to show up in drag.
Because she didn't think anybody would show up because she didn't understand that people from the internet are real people.
She didn't care.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's like, nobody's going to show up for a podcast. People, like, it's going to be five people.
So we were all dressed to the nines, looking flawless, and she's like in sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, but kind of like, you know,
also
I think
like high drag for Heclina.
Well, in some ways, I think, you know, the experience was a tiny bit humiliating for her.
Oh, no.
But she made the best of the situation because she did get to eat frosting from a very sexy listener's ass.
Sid.
Oh, yes.
That is her favorite thing.
So we had, at the time period, we were trying to encourage, you know, before it gets better, we were telling people to sit on cakes to make the world a better place.
Yes.
It didn't catch on as much as, you know, the It Gets Better project did. I should have, though. Mm-hmm. But basically, the idea was to stop war and invest in communities. Stop, you know, basically, it was like defund the police. Yeah. But by sitting on cakes.
But it was for the war in Iraq. We said, what was it?
No cake
shall go unsat until we bring the troops back from Iraq. And people are like, that doesn't rhyme. I'm like, it's called a near rhyme, you bitch.
Oh, yeah, that was close enough.
And so when we did live podcasts, we would bring a cake and invite somebody from the audience, which, you know, believe it or not, like, people were dying to sit on those cakes. Mm-hmm. Have you ever sat on a cake in real life?
I mean,
not in your imagination.
Not for free.
When you sit on a cake, cakes are cold.
Yes.
And they're not soft and cushiony as you would expect.
Yeah, you think they're going to be a little harder, but they're almost clay-like in some sense.
It's like you're sitting on a bag of clay.
Yeah.
And so you're just kind of the reaction on your face is half the fun. It's like you're like all excited. This is going to be sexy. It's frosting. And then you sit down and you're like, oh God, what have I done? Mm-hmm. And so it stands up and, you know, people are like enjoying it. And then Heklina, she just like the Terminator, just pushed everybody out of the side and went straight for Sid's butt and devoured it. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, there was not one lick of icing left.
Where's Sid now? Sid, write to us. It's been a long time.
Sid is like a bartender in San Francisco. You probably know Sid. He's worked as a bartender in, I think, was that leather bar? No, it was the Eagle or one of those leather bars.
Powerhouse or Lone Star? Probably,
right? I think it may have been Powerhouse. Yeah. He's very cute, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, who isn't?
So this live stream that you had, you know, where you talked to the bar owners about your situation, was that inspired by what went down here in Chicago with the Black Drag Queen Council and how did that inspire you? I would imagine, like, you know, being in San Francisco and seeing the drag queens here all coming together and basically telling this person you need to change or move on. And then holding some of the bar owners and managers accountable, that must have been powerful to witness.
Oh, definitely so. The people who put that on were definitely like inspired by the Chicago Black Drag Council. I remember watching that and being like just sitting back and just being like wowed and also very inspired and happy to see, you know, Black drag queens standing up and speaking about the injustices that they've dealt with in the bars. And it makes me realize like all the things that I've had to deal with, you know, the microaggressions that you deal with in bars and the queer nightlife as a person of color. So they definitely were inspired by that. And that was, you know, like so many cities after that were, you know, hopped on that and were like, let's address this and like, let's let these bars know finally, like what we deal with and like how it affects us. And when we did it here, like there were some people who like had like some like bartenders who work there who are bartenders of color who had to deal with microaggressions and how their managers didn't stick up for them when they've had, you know, issues with patrons or they were paid less and, you know, all those microaggressions, things that we deal with and were addressed. And it was really nice to see all these people come together, and then they brought on certain like the owners of the Eagle, and there's one owner of multiple bars in the Castro who didn't dare to like show up himself. He had other people show up for him, but he's like notorious for being like, he's just a horrible human being. Like he buys these businesses, doesn't really care about them, doesn't care about his patrons, like especially the people of color. And all those bars have.
Would you be a little rough on Mark Zuckerberg?
Oh, never, never enough.
And so this guy was like, you guys were had him face to face.
No, he didn't show up.
He was
He didn't even show up. Okay. Yeah, he didn't even show up. He had the bar managers show up.
But I'm wondering, like, considering that, you know, I imagine that the bar owners who had done harmful things, you know, racist things in their bars and were at least conscious of it, would have seen this exchange themselves. Why do you think they felt like they were willing to put themselves up for scrutiny in such a context like that.
I think it's also the fear of like, if you don't do it, then like it's even worse. You're like, oh, you're chicken. You're not going to show up. And like, maybe everything you're saying is true. And some of the people showed up and like, they could have changed things. There was actually the one crazy part was the bar owners or the managers of the Edge Bar in the Castro. They had a talk with certain people. Like they had the talk with the moderators and patrons who had been working in that bar. And then they thought they signed out of their Zoom call. They ended apparently they stopped the video, but the sound was still coming through. And then they had a hot mic situation where they were talking shit about one of the moderators or one of the people in the coalition and saying like, oh yeah, they're just a bully. And of course it was just personal attacks. But there was like a hot mic situation and everyone lost it. We're like, oh, we are hearing everything. And it just like kind of was like, you tried to be a good person, or like they thought they were like, you know, appeasing everyone. But then when the camera turned off, they literally like change.
Could you just pause for a second? I really need to drink some hot tea right now.
Yeah. Honey.
Let that sink in.
What was it like when they came to realize that mic was hot and everything was heard?
I wanted them to keep it going. I was like, just don't say anything. Just listen to everything. But eventually, I think the tech person like cut off their stream. And I was like, oh, no, we need to just keep listening. I believe they made apologies to the people that they were talking poorly about. But, I mean, once it's said, you know, that's what you really meant. Well, if anything, you're sorry that you got caught.
It's interesting because it's like, you know, when you talk to white people about racism or maybe their implicit bias and stuff, it's always... it's often they take it as it's a personal attack against them.
So
you're wanting to start some kind of fight. You're trying to denigrate them or you're trying to put them on blast or to cancel them and stuff instead of just having a conversation, right?
Yeah, it's honestly, it's when people don't get that, or especially white people or non-people of color don't understand that when you're trying to these are just the things that I deal with. Yeah. White people. So it's just,
it's interesting because, you know, you're both saying like, we both agree that racism is bad, right?
Yes.
So by me saying to you that your thoughts, behaviors, and actions are racist should not feel as a personal attack, but as an opportunity for you to change and be a better person.
Yeah.
But they never
see that.
Never, ever happens.
No, they never see it that way. They see it as like in a personal attack. And it's like, you know, to a certain degree, sometimes it is a personal attack. If depending on what your comments and things are, those are like a real thing. But, you know, if someone's trying to tell you what their feelings are about how you are acting and trying to better you by educating you on something, you take that moment of generosity of someone actually trying to be calm and actually take that moment of someone actually, you know, lending a moment to be like, educate you about like your microaggressions, about the things that you're saying and how they are perceived to others. Mm-hmm. You know, like that was a gracious moment when people are like, I'm telling you, like, this is racist. Like, that is a moment for you to change and to see how you can change yourself and better yourself. Like, you know, like, I'm honestly tired of telling white people, like, how to better themselves. They know how to use Google. They can read. They can do some own research. In the meantime, you can pay me reparations, like, while I have to, like, sit here and, like, educate people about how not to be racist.
Well, part of me, like, feels that, like, especially during Black History Month, which is February, that it is nice to be able to talk about the achievements and accomplishments of Black Americans and not always be talking about racism, not because racism is this monstrous problem that needs to be eradicated, but because we sometimes need just to stop and celebrate and be happy for people's lives. That's not always everything has to be like this gloom and doom.
Yeah, exactly. I saw some article pop up and it was like a list of black films that aren't about black trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, there's all these films that come out and it's like, we want to see positive light of like black stories and black artists and black, you know, lives that isn't based around, you know, someone living in the ghetto and like with a white savior, like some Blind Side shit, you know, mm-hmm. like we want to see real positive, like black interactions. And that's like real. That's like what people really need to see. They don't like seeing this trauma stuff. It just also reminds, like, yes, it's good to like remind people of like the struggles and things that black people have gone through and continue to go through. But like, I also want to see like positive, like inspiring stories of people that look like myself.
And to me, it's also the intersectionality of Indigenous and Latinx and Asian and diaspora immigrant cultures. Like one TV series that I'm heartbroken got canceled, which I was a huge fan of, was Netflix's The Get Down. Which did you ever catch that? It was so much fun. Yeah, I watched
it. It was great.
It starred Will Smith's son. Mm-hmm. I'm blanking on his.
Was it Willow?
No. Jaden.
Jaden, who's Jaden, non-binary. Yeah.
He's now an out bi. Is he gay or bi? I forget what he is.
But so it was the focus of the series. It was a musical series, and it was about the rise of hip hop music. And the way like factions and rival bands and people were up to hijinks and trying to like discover and learn and innovate, and how this young girl, she was like caught up in a religious household and she wanted to become a disco diva and her father wouldn't let her sing. So it had like elements of Footloose. It had elements of like the good parts of
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. And it was such a joyful, fascinating and true story about the rise of hip hop music and how it transformed like black identity and the black experience in the urban environment. And to me, I was just like so heartbroken that the series got canceled. I really, you know, if anybody's out there listening, please reboot this. It was so good.
Yeah, exactly. start a GoFundMe, start a Bandcamp or something, whatever. Start it so that we can get it back on.
And that's the thing about like Black History Month. Like even when we were talking on yesterday's show about George Washington Carver, like here's somebody who, you know, everybody's heard of George Washington Carver, but nobody knows that he had this really high voice, that he was very mystical, very came across as very queer. He lived with a man and, you know, was very deeply in love with him, and he had friendships with married white women. For a black man at the time period, he was like a celebrity. In 1921, he testified before Congress and changed the way farming was done in the United States. Like this,
he loved to give hot peanut oil massages
to athletes, and he bragged about it. He was very. He called himself a rubber because he loved to rub men's bodies with oil.
Yeah, that was the early days before, you know, fluffers. It was the rubber,
and you know, and we don't know anything about George Washington Carver, and it's like even having a conversation with Matt Brown about it. You know, it tended to get around. It's not about this man's contribution and the beauty of his spirit and soul. It was also like, it's really hard to talk about him without talking about the oppression and the horrors that he also may have and did experience. And so, you know, for Black History Month, and I'm kind of hearing you talking about this, it's like, as a Black queer entertainer, you know, it's really difficult to strike the balance because people do turn to your streaming shows as a way of entertainment, as a way to escape the woes they have in the world. But at the same time, you have a civic responsibility to address these injustices, right?
No, totally. And like, that's one of the things, like I'm an entertainer at first, and I my partner's calling me like, now I'm out here doing like community and activism work with this, but I'm an entertainer first. I've always loved entertaining people. And if I can make some difference in the same time, that's, I'm totally here for it. So I love entertaining people, and I want to make, like, you know, drag is for me, like, always has been like an escape for people and like escape for me to entertain people, to take them into a fantasy world that I've created. And I love doing that. And that's what I love about performing and drag.
On Facebook, you describe yourself as a performance artist.
Yeah.
And I think for people who don't know what that term means, explain it to them?
I mean, as a performance artist, I say that I dabble in all types of performance art, where I do different types of, like, I do drag. I also consider myself as, like, you know, a stand-up comedian, pretty much. Like, drag queens are comedians. Like, we gotta, like, you know, not all of us are funny, but we try. you know, like...
I said I was a comedian. I said I wasn't any good at it.
I didn't say I was good, you know? Like, I didn't say I wasn't at the Laugh Factory, honey. But,
Is it because, like, you see your identity and the work you do as a ball of clay, that, like, it's something you can... is malleable, not just the fact that you're performing for an audience, but that very expectation can also be modified itself.
Totally. Because, you know, like, it, my performances can change from day to day. And, you know, by, like, being a performance artist, you can change it from being like, I'm not just like, you're not being trapped in a box. Like, I'm not just a drag queen. Like, I'm a drag queen, but I love, like, doing art and painting and sculptures, and I love doing performance pieces. I love to dance. You know, like,
and
all those things.
You love to do Lady Gaga performances as well. I wanted to talk to you about, I have this theory that Lady Gaga's trying to kill us all.
Well, I just had her Oreo cookies, and, she tried to kill my intestines, so I...
There's TikToks out there of people complaining that it's giving them the shits.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I did, but I'm not going to say I didn't.
Charmin is my best friend.
You had some rumblings down there? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was a moment. I tried them. I actually found I found them at Target yesterday when I went shopping, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to buy them. Like, let me see. They were on sale. And then I took them home, and I tried them. They're okay. They're, like, not the best thing in the world. And I was hungry. I was, like, hadn't eaten all day.
Oh, geez.
So, like, if I ate those and I didn't like them, that means something, because I'll eat anything.
They were super sweet, right?
Yeah, they were so sugary, like, way too sugary.
It's the golden ones, you know?
Yeah. And honestly... Lady Gaga, she's crazy, because she got some crazy power bottoms out here breaking their diet to eat those things. She got bottoms who suck on ice cubes with a little bit of salt and lemon juice on it as like a full course meal, buying like 8 fucking boxes of these things and eating them. Yeah. So like at least she got some bottoms to eat for once.
Yeah, we got 2 packages. We ate one in a day, and I just threw out the package. It's sitting in the garbage now.
Oh, it's in the garbage.
The last one.
I want to pull it out of the garbage can, because I want to read the ingredients on the air, which I was pink and green Oreo cookies. This sounds like fun. It's performance art, right?
Let me
pull this out. Hold on a second.
We got into Fausto. I got into such a big fight about those, because they're supposedly double stuffed, and you're like, he's like, yeah.
Are
and
they?
When you pull them apart, because they put a little cream on one side, put a little cream on the other side. When you pull them apart, each side is supposed to have cream. And I said, well, that was not my experience. He's like, well, this is what the press release is telling you. I'm like, I understand what the press release is telling you, but that was not my experience. And he just got mad at me, because like, my experience was not the same as what.
Well,
was
I don't want to come across as a QAnon crazy conspiracy theory person here. So this is the ingredients, okay? Sugar. Obviously. Unbleached flour. Right. So that's we're good here so far. Vitamin B1, vitamin B2, so you don't die of starvation. Then it has palm oil.
That's not the good oil, is it?
No, it's not. Salt and baking soda. So you're like, where the hell are the eggs?
Where the hell are the poppers?
Where do you make cookies without eggs? Okay, so we go on here. The list doesn't end here. Yellow 5 lake, lecithin to emulsify, blue number 1 lake. That may cause birth defects, and is why M&M's did not have blue or red ones for a long time, because they were causing
allegedly
cancer.
Allegedly
may cause birth defects. Red 40 Lake, another very aggressive food coloring. artificial flavors and natural flavors. Now, the term artificial flavor can mean just about anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And natural flavors, too.
So
you
then
know that
color
pink, you know what that reminds me of is what? Like those champagne cookies that we used to serve. And the ingredient that made them pink was cochineal, which is ground up bugs.
But that may be the case.
Wow. Red bugs.
So let's go to look a list here of Lady Gaga is why she's trying to kill us all.
So oh my God.
It all started with her putting meat on her naked body. Food poisoning.
There you go. Salmonella right
and
there.
And then remember that gyroscope dress that could decapitate you if you got too close. Then she started putting mental health tour buses at her rock concerts. And I guess that like they were not properly staffed, or like when you went in there, there was like nobody in there. And then the moral of the story in Star is Born is that you have to die so Lady Gaga can become famous.
Wow. I mean, that's why she's trying to like kill you all and like get you sterile with these cookies.
I think Lady Gaga, you got a lot of explaining to do. I want to cancel you, girl, but I don't know. I'm just like a little bit overwhelmed by that, you know?
It's like, I know. Honestly, like it, these cookies were like, they were like, honestly, it was a gimmick and it was so much like I wished it came with like a Chromatica jockstrap as well. Or at least like something to make him, that would have been like a little bit more entertaining. Like, or at least like, oh, it comes with its own bottle of poppers, you know, like I think like something like that, like, cause you know, who's buying this, it's only gays. Like the gays are buying this.
And well, like, the bears, too. The ones who like to eat stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But, you know, there's twinks out there that would never eat those cookies. Those cookies are in a vault somewhere, and they're Lady Gaga vault.
I saw get them if you bought. There were four of these bags of cookies being sold on eBay for like $300.
Well, because I think in some places in the country, they're not going to be in every Walmart or Target, right?
And I'm just like, this
I literally saw
bullshit.
People doing that. I saw some guy on Twitter is literally like, I've got like 20 of these, I'm selling them. And it's like, if you want to come pick them up, like I can't mail them, but come swing by my house. And he's like, almost gone. And I'm like, who is like driving around LA to go buy these fucking cookies? Like, well, y'all are crazy.
When I went to Target to get it, these cookies were not next to the regular Oreos. They were in a different location. So I have to go, and there's some young hipster person like stocking the shelf. I'm like, excuse me,
young man,
where are the Lady Gaga Oreos? Eye roll.
I found mine. Mine were right next to the boxes of Fleets. And I was like, oh,
are you kidding me?
Fleet
no,
animals?
I wish.
Oh my God.
No, that would be hilarious. I was like, they're like, well, the bottoms need their Fleets and they need these Oreos. So,
well, if you guys want to enjoy yourselves, check out Nikki Jizz's Instagram where she does lip syncs. Lady Gaga's 100 People in the Room remix.
Wasn't that wild?
Wonderful.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you like that. Was a wild one. I did that for a digital show that was a Gaga-thon, yeah. And we just did all these Gaga numbers. And the funny thing is, I did my main number in that is like, it starts off with me doing A Star is Born, doing Shallow. And I had not seen the movie yet. I watched the movie. Just to do that scene. And then, like, because I was like, I watched the original with Barbara Streisand and I loved it.
Original is not that one.
I'm sorry, not the original, but the Barbara Streisand is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yes, the Barbara Streisand is my favorite. I'm that's the kind of Barb I am. I am a Barbara Streisand fan. Anyways, I loved that one so much. And I was like, I don't know if I can watch Gaga doing this. And then I watched it for that and I was like, oh my God, I have a great idea. And I just came up with a stupid drag number and wanted to just like keep going in giant Gaga world because she's like, she is just this giant fantasy upon a fantasy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's always was one of my favorite memes is like, if there was 100 people in a room and 99. Like that's just like cracks me up
she
every single
said
time
it over and over and over again. It was crazy and it was like
so many times.
I wonder if she's ever talked about it, but I do have to say I really liked your video because it builds, right? It starts off as one thing and then it just keeps on going and then keeps on going and getting bigger and more fun.
Yeah, I mean that's the one few good things about like some digital drag is like, you know, you can have a green screen and all your dreams can come true. And like, you just like, you're like, well, I can just edit this in. I could just keep adding this. And like, the ideas can just get bigger and bigger. And you're just like, sometimes you're like, fuck it, let's just go all out for it.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, how are we going to go back? Like, now with this green screen in everybody's homes, everyone's like, I don't want to go to the clubs. I want to make videos at home.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's going to be a journey getting back, because it's like, I mean, I miss being at the club. I miss snatching money out of people's hands. Like, that's one of my favorite things. Just like snatching the money. Like, I used to swing from the bar at the Stud. They had a pole that was on the, like, hidden at the top of the stage.
Yeah, I love that.
And I would swing across the, I would swing across the, like, state, like, across the, above the audience, like, just full on, like, swinging around. I miss, like, all that kind of crazy stuff, but, like, I don't miss wearing heels. I don't have to wear heels anymore. I wear a cute, like, drag top, and I have my sweats on and socks, and I'm just, like, comfy, and my dog's sitting at my feet.
Aww.
And I'm like, I'm gonna miss that, like,
Now you guys had a lot of strong opinions about gays over COVID, and I imagine that, you know, all the people who went to Puerto Vallarta, including Shangela, Miss Vanji, and who was the other one?
Silky
Ganache. Yeah. I'm sure they're only the three ones that got caught. I'm sure there were other girls there too. They must be very relieved that the barbarian Republicans took the spotlight on January 6th, you know, and now everybody's talking about the guy with the horns. Yeah. So, like, you know, everyone's forgotten about that. And part of me is like, we're dealing with so many difficult times. Like, can't we just forgive Miss Vanji for, you know, for canceling herself?
Yeah. I mean,
you know
what? Like, that is all on them. And that's it's just what sucks about it is that these, like, people like that have such a huge platform and a lot of people look up to them, and it's just disappointing when, you know, they're human, they make mistakes just like anyone else. It's just really disappointing when people do that, and then they're just like, you know, they're letting down all these kids that follow them and people who have looked up to them. It's like, it's disappointing. It's like, you know, I mean, that's the responsibility of being, you know, somebody in the spotlight, and maybe you didn't ask for that much, but then you shouldn't have signed up for the show.
Isn't that the same argument that, like, you know, lottery winners have? They're like, well, if you didn't want to win all that money, you shouldn't have played the lottery.
Yeah, just don't play the lottery. Give, you know what, if you didn't want that money, you can give it to me. I will take your lottery winning.
I will be the socially conscious, responsible lottery winner.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I will donate them. I will give money to everyone's OnlyFans, okay? I will subscribe to everyone's.
But it's tough. Like, some of these Rue girls go to Folsom Street back in the happier days, and they were being put on blast because somebody was sucking their dick or fucking them, you know? And I'm just like, can these girls, like, get laid in privacy?
Oh, trust me. I've been thinking, I was like, some of the things I do, like, in my own drag, it's like, I literally, like, am sometimes naked on stage. I lip sync with my, like, with my ass at times, and I'm like, well, I mean, like, if I make it on Drag Race,
wait a second, you lip sync with your ass,
like, you show your butt,
like, you pull your butt cheeks apart, or you do fill your hole with gas and then you just fart it out? And
no, I pull my cheeks apart. Okay. Very Ace Ventura, because after
that
I started
movie
doing
did
that,
not
people
age well.
Oh no, it did not.
None of them did. At all.
Definitely not. It was so problematic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's,
have you ever kind of gotten onto the national spotlight, like on a major podcast, and people would Google your performances, they might find things that they might not like.
I mean, I think everyone will like it. It's well manicured. You know, I take care of it. Yeah. It's lotion. It's, you know, oiled.
You knew the lyrics.
Yeah.
Your butt knew the lyrics.
That was the tightest lip sync ever. Okay. My hole is the tightest.
Snatched.
But yeah, it's like, people have lives and people have sexual lives, and, you know, people go out to Folsom, they do other things like that. And, like, you know, like, somebody might be recording, like, it's a part of life, especially like gay culture. So if anybody ever, like, you know, frowns upon that, then it's like, you know, like, this is just what our lives are like.
Don't be so square, right?
I just, you know, sometimes, like, I've been to a party where I was like, man, if someone photographs me at this party, if this is before COVID, I'd be mortified. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I got roped into going this thing. So, you know, I don't know if like in hindsight, where that was their manager or somebody who gave them a lot of money. They're like, you're going to go to this party. You're going to have fun. And you're going to show up and blah, 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 and you better not wear a mask because I'm an anti-masker and I gave you $10,000 last year and you better get in it. You know, and they're like,
yeah,
yes, sir.
I mean, that sounds like that'd be some craziness. I'm like, yeah, you can catch me like flying around. Definitely not at no circuit party, like doing none of that. I think it's like, it's wild. Like, it's just, you know, people just stay at home, like calm down. We're so close. Like, everyone's almost so close to like getting a vaccine to make it a little bit easier for us to like be around each other.
Well, I remember like, the happier days when people got excited to make it to the, you know, final rounds of interviews on Drag Race. Now everyone's excited about like when they're going to get their COVID vaccine.
Yeah. That's like the crazy. I was thinking about it the other day. I remember when the craziest thing happening in this country was fucking Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
Oh like, my God.
I miss those days. So good.
They are good.
Somebody clued me in there, like, if you ask for extra pickles, it's even better. So I always ask for extra pickles.
Ooh, okay. Next time. Yeah. It like, I remember when that was the craziest thing happening in this country. And I was like, I honestly miss those crazy days. Like, I'd rather have that than like, you know, like I actually heard somebody the other day, like throw a hissy fit about like wearing a mask out in public at a store. And I'm like, are we still doing this? Like, it's almost a year into this. Like, are we still like fighting over it? Like just.
But see, for me, like when I see people in my own community, like I see Puerto Rican people not wearing masks and I'm like, you know, Trump and those Republicans want you to die.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so for you thinking you're being so clever, not wearing a mask in public, you're playing into their hands.
No, I totally agree with you. Like I spend part of my time, like part of my quarantine, like most of my quarantine, I've been, my partner's in Oakland and you know, like sometimes I'm sitting around, I'm just like, come on, black people, just put on your mask. Like we can, well, let's show these people do better. And I was like, we got this shit. Like,
so did you approach somebody in public and like tell them, like, you know, solidarity, Black Lives Matter, wear your mask. And they're like, get the fuck out of my face.
Oh yeah, of course. They were like, excuse me. They're like, what? I'm supposed to be wearing it. Cause I usually have my mask on that says jizz all over it. Cause oh my God. You know, I got to stay on brand. also gotta, you it's
sell,
pretty
do
much
you, do you sell that in your store. Cause I saw your jizz t-shirt for sale, which is awesome.
Yes. I have jizz face masks and t-shirts. I have stuff that I sell personally, like stickers, things like that. I sell out of here. But yeah, I have my little jizz face mask that I wear around. And it's pretty much my version of flagging. Yeah, it's like flagging, you know?
Who needs flagging. A hanky code if I have of a jizz face mask?
Are you talking about circuit party flagging when the guy
flagging
is like...
the hanky when you put a handkerchief in your back pocket, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I learned that from the movie, from Al Pacino.
Oh, from cruising? My sister took me to see that movie probably a year or two after it came out, so I was very young. Saw it, like, there was the place in our hometown where you could, it was kind of like a dirty bookstore, but for, like, regular movies, where you could sit in a little room, pop in a cassette, and watch a movie, you know?
Oh, word.
So you could just kind of, like, whatever, and so I saw that, and I was just like, it was hard for me to wrap my head around what was even happening in that movie. Because I think it was just a little bit too young.
Yeah. It's one of those things I went back later and I was like, oh, I get this now.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to watch it as an adult.
Oh, it's funnier. I mean, it's problematic, but there's like some like, it's funny seeing like Al Pacino like trying to be like this like butch gay dude. And it's just like, it's like, no. But also then I'm like, this feels like a regular night at the Eagle.
Oh, those good old days.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
What do you miss the most of pre-pandemic times?
Wow. I really miss like being out in the community and seeing people's faces. I know it's like really cheesy. I really miss like people and like being around folks the most. Like I'm a very social individual. So like I like being like trapped in a house has always been very like it's claustrophobic at times and like really like gets really anxious. So I do miss like being out and about in the world. I miss seeing like, you know, just being out wild and You know, getting free shots as a drag queen. I missed that too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like from, you know, free shots to COVID shots.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's to be always, I was like, oh, here, it's on me. I'm like, oh, thanks, honey. I miss.
And, yeah. It is interesting. Like people, these same QAnon Trump people who are like shooting up meth are like against taking a COVID shot.
Honestly, it makes no, I was like, you've taken random bumps from some dudes in, you know, in a bathroom at the Eagle or wherever, and like you can't take a COVID shot. Like literally, you, like, you've done crazier things, like, you know, like you've taken popping these pills or doing whatever, and like you're scared to take a vaccine shot. Like, come on.
I know a lot of vegans who do cocaine and they're like, well, it's from a plant.
I mean, that's real. Well, you know what, you can't be vegan and swallow, because I caught someone that way. They were like, yeah, I'm vegan. I was like, bitch, you swallowed.
Yeah,
like,
you're not vegan. But that's not really true. Because I think one of the main things is with not eating meat is that it's about consent, right? And so, and so if you're, and that's how they get around it. So if you swallow jizz, that person should be giving you consent.
So can vegans be cannibals if it's like, you know, a consensual cannibalism?
Well,
yeah.
But that's also like, you know, are you really, are you, that's just nuts. There's a bit of a little, I mean, difference between vegan, spilling your seed.
Mark, stop kink shaming people, you know, on the show.
Yeah. But I mean, we're talking about vegan.
Cancel. Yeah, Armie Hammer's really shook right now.
Oh my God. Armie Hammer. Honestly, that man is just like living his best kinky life. Like, I was I'm very shocked, but also not really. I'm just like, yeah,
we all know people are freaks. We yeah, know this.
Honestly.
Well, and some of the women are saying that it's not that he was like passionate about it, but he was like crossing the line.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just like, yeah. And but at the like, same time, that's like, you know, it's coming out in the middle of a paternity lawsuit between him and his ex-wife. So his lawyers may be like pushing that story out there to be like, see, he's a terrible father because he's a cannibal.
Yeah, I mean, cannibals can be great fathers, you know.
Yeah,
they can be,
as long as their children are not delicious.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
when daddy says, "Oh, I love you so much, I could eat you up," be like, get
"That's
out
when
of
you
here.
Get scared." That's when you press your life alert button. You press the life alert button, and you're like, "Daddy's trying to eat me."
Daddy, how about some Lady Gaga chromatic curry? You haven't touched your Lady Gaga pink curry. And your Lady Gaga diet Pepsi, all pink.
Oh my God!
We're all gonna die.
Yeah,
but
for
not
sure.
From those COVID, are thankfully.
No, it's from diabetes from Lady Gaga and these cookies.
And Lady Gaga's like, "Yes, my precious, more yeah, exactly. Chromatica Oreos, may all for Gaga."
Oh my God.
Nikki Jizz, it's so good kikiing with you.
Oh, no, this has been so much fun. I'm like, it's been a blast. Thank you so much for having me and like chatting to me. Like, otherwise, I'd just be talking to my dog and aww. He doesn't really like have much rapport.
From the house of more power.
Yes, from the house of more.
How many more is there out there? There's Sylvia Ostafermore. That's one of them, right? Or is that not one of them?
Say it again.
Who is in the house of Moore?
There's Ronnie Moore is your mom. Is that right?
Yeah. So my drag mother is Ronnie Nothing Moore. And the matriarch, the head of the Moore family is David Glamamore. Glamamore is the head of the Moore family. And then we have Juanita Moore, who's pretty much the queen of San Francisco. She does charity. She does it all. She is the queen. So then we have Juanita Moore, and then there's like other Moores, like my aunts, like there's Vivianne Forevermore, there's Vudana Black, there's Mary Weiss, there's so many, like Princess Pinocha. There's so many Moores.
More and more Moores.
Well, as Madonna said in Dick Tracy, nothing's better than more.
Exactly.
You remember that soundtrack, that movie, right?
Oh yeah, it was a really. I mean, honestly, it was probably like Madonna's best work.
I agree too. Movie. I think the Dick Tracy album is Madonna's best album.
Yeah, it's really like hard for me to like settle down on it, and I just like you know what? I pick and choose like my favorite stuff, but like that was like on point.
Well, it helps if Stephen Sondheim writes a lot of the songs on your album.
You know? Oh yeah, totally.
And that was they put so much money into that soundtrack.
Yeah, and that was before she started doing like a fake British accent too. Before that phase,
and she was singing that with Al Pacino. He's like more.
Oh my god!
We just watched it on Netflix the other day. It is so bizarre.
Oh my god! I haven't seen it in ages. I'm gonna add that to my watch list to do.
You know what we just rewatched recently is Dirty Dancing on Netflix.
The movie is one of my favorite movies.
You watch the movies that made us, the making of Dirty Dancing. It's phenomenal.
Okay, no, I'm going to have to do that. Dirty Dancing's like one of my favorite movies. Yeah.
But definitely watch the making of it, and then watch the movie. Watch the movie before, watch the documentary, and then watch the movie again. It'll be like, man.
Yeah, because I guess the woman who wrote, Eleanor Bergstein, who wrote the screenplay for Dirty Dancing, in real life was called Baby, and had a similar experience.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Of course.
And so she when she saw Patrick Swayze, she was just like, she not only cast him in the role, but she wanted to dance a lot with him. And she's like, can we dance? You know, and Eleanor Bergstein, if you Google her name, she's this Yenta who she's probably humping Patrick Swayze in his prime, and he's just trying to be real professional, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's like, okay, lady, sure, whatever you want.
And that's Jennifer Grey co-stars in that, and she's Joel Grey's daughter. And so when she went for the audition, she turned to Joel Grey, who's, you know, from Cabaret. She's like, I really hope I get this role, Daddy. And they were like,
Baby. That's Baby.
Yeah. That is Baby.
You're like, oh yeah, it's yours. It's going to happen. And
so they cast her knowing that she was going to drive Patrick Swayze crazy during the movie.
Oh my god.
And so they would like tape all those scenes. So all the scenes that where Patrick Swayze is like ready to knock her out, like he's just so frustrated with her and she's like giggling and all that stuff, that is all real.
Mm. Oh my god. Okay, yeah, I need to watch this. Because finding like all the little details about stuff like that is like one of my favorites. That movie like changed so much. Like for me as a kid, I was just like, it was like awakening. I was like, ooh, oh, I get it. I'm like, they're moving like this. I'm like, oh, okay. That's how the stroke game is supposed to be. I get it.
Mm. And Patrick Swayze awakened the homosexuality of a lot of gay boys in the late 80s.
Oh, yeah. Also, the soundtrack was like very, I was oh, I'm gay. I'm loving all this. Like, come here, lover boy. I'm just like, baby, whoa.
Well, you know, like, that was also a big deal is that they had to beg Phil Spector to use the music from the Ronettes. You know,
the night
I said I loved you, I needed you so. Like, be my baby. That song, no one can use. It's like to get the rights of it.
Well, now he's dead. So
well, now he's dead.
Easier.
Maybe now, but it's like it's one of those songs that no one can use in any movies. And so, like the soundtrack was this like masterpiece, and the casting was a masterpiece. Like if you watch it again, you're like, this movie is so well put together, and it's so much fun, and it has such a queer aesthetic to it.
Oh yeah, totally.
Even though there's no actual homosexuality in the movie, is like, everybody watching it kind of relates to Baby because it's about like lusting over this hunk and, you know, she actually gets to bang him, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And then it's she has like to out herself.
Yeah. And it's like, hi, here I am. I'm like, it's that like perfect coming of age story. You're like, oh, I'm into this. I'm like, yes. The like, you know, the girl next door gets the hot guy. Like, we're here for that.
So have you ever got cast on RuPaul's Drag Race and you became such a huge star that Peaches Christ had to build a show around you?
Oh, wow.
What movie would you be like, Peaches, you have to do Dirty Dancing or nothing at all?
Oh, my god. Wow, what would it be? I mean, Dirty Dancing, that could be. Like, no one puts jizz in a corner. Honestly,
that's
pretty good.
And that's a pretty good Peaches imitation, I have to say.
Yes, exactly. Oh, my god. Her eyebrows up to the sky.
You can say, yeah.
Dirty Dancing would probably, I would love that. I mean, hands, actually, one of my favorite movies in the whole entire world is Cruel Intentions. And
I don't know that like, movie.
Cruel Intentions, it's like Reese Witherspoon, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Phillippe, and like, it was like...
I've seen that in ages.
Oh, yeah, it's
a turn of the century, right? It's a romantic drama.
Yeah, it was originally Dangerous Liaisons, which had like Glenn Close and John Malkovich in it, and then they did a remake for like young modern 90s. But that movie always like was one of my favorites, and it showed me, I was like, oh, look, the movie has everything. It's got incest, gay relationships. There's like girl and girl action. There's like, they even have a black guy in it. I was like, oh my God, they have everything. And then, yeah, I was like, wow, this is perfect for me. That was just such a faggy movie. I love it.
Or maybe like, I want you to do Return of the Jedi. And you're like, how am I supposed to do that? He's like, figure it out.
Yeah, make it work. Make it work.
I've been watching Mannequin with Meshach Taylor playing Hollywood. That movie is so insane.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh my God, you got to see Mannequin.
I'll send you the link.
Okay, yeah, please do.
It made Kim Cattrall. That was way before
it was
Sex
after
in the
Porky's.
City. After
but,
Porky's.
But before Sex in the City.
And Kim Cattrall plays a Egyptian woman. Don't ask me how they figured, you know.
Okay.
She is white, and I think they even comment the fact that she's white in the movie. Like, they're like, you don't look Egyptian. But so she is trying to, I guess she's been,
she had a curse on her.
Well, a curse because she wouldn't marry somebody.
Yes.
And so she was cursed to be a time traveling mannequin. And so she had relationships with Leonardo da Vinci where she inspired him. So she's kind of like a muse that travels through time, right?
Okay.
And she manages her way into her department store where, Jonathan Switcher.
Ooh.
And the name is intentional to be like, you know, is he kind of gay, right? Gets a job with Estelle Getty from Golden Girls is the CEO of this
department store.
And she gets him to be one of the window decorators alongside with designing women's Meshach Taylor playing a very, very loud, unapologetic sissy named Hollywood.
Who's Hollywood
Montrees, darling, you know, and he is light years ahead of any Rue Girl at the time. He was bringing like ballroom culture to white mainstream mall going America. And so he's like snapping his fingers. He's like wearing all these like extreme 80s fashion.
Two things I like to do, fight and kiss boys.
And I'm you know, so I think he's referencing like They Live.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm here to fight, kick ass, and chew gum, and I'm all out of gum.
Okay.
You know, and so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
totally.
It's like he's such a transcendent character, and there's all these videos on YouTube like analyzing him, but I was like, you know, I would love if Peaches could do something with it, but it is like. In hindsight, watching that movie, there's a lot of harmful depictions of violence against queer people.
For
humor, there's a lot of.
Was it done in 87? Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, there's sexual harassment in the workplace. Like, there's all sorts of things that, like, by today's standards,
they let everything slide in the 80s. You know,
like this woman who's dating Jonathan Switcher before he starts dating the mannequin. Hence the movie The Mannequin. She is being sexually harassed by one of her coworkers, and it's for laughs. Mm. And, you know, in today's standards, she'd be like, HR, get this guy fired, you know?
Yeah.
And so she's so frustrated because her boyfriend dumps her for a mannequin. So she has sex with a guy, tries to have sex with a guy who's sexually harassing her, and then he can't get it up.
And he wants to get with a mannequin too. So she's a mannequin when other people are around, but when it's just Jonathan Switcher and the mannequin, she comes to life as Kim Cattrall.
And so Kim Cattrall inspires him to design amazing store display windows that turns the department store's business around, and they make Andrew McCarthy from St. Elmo's Fire and those Molly Ringwald movies and all that stuff into a VP, a president of the company. And, you know, so it's rags to riches. It's a lot of 80s, like, going up in the corporation. And there's just a lot, like, use of the word gay. They say the fruit, the sissy, the fag, and in this movie. Yeah. And you're just like, the fairy they use a lot, you know. And, you know, I think it's an allegory for a gay romantic drama.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard, like, watching, like, films like that, like, that you've watched, like, grew up as a kid, and then you, like, look back, you're like, oh, yeah, this was, like, very, like, harmful to gays, and it's, like, very, like, anti-gay. It's like, oh, this faggot, oh, this, that. And you're like, oh, they just let this happen on, like, TV. Like, this is what, like, the 80s, 90s were. It just was. Like,
well, the Police Academy movies had a lot of that. One common trope or a recurring joke in the Police Academy movies is that the villains found themselves their way to the Blue Oyster Club, where it's such a gay bar that you have to dance with leather men.
And they're dancing. Oh my god, I think I remember this now. Yes.
So the bad guys find their way inside the Blue Oyster, and they're police officers, and the leather men think they're, you know, dressed up as police officers, right? And so,
yeah, it's totally like YMCA. Like,
it's totally YMCA. So then this tango music, da-da-da-da-da, and then they start having to dance. And people like thought accidental homosexuality was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, yay, it's so funny. Yeah, I actually, now I think back to that, that's so ridiculous. Like, it's like, oh, the worst thing is like, oh, you're going to be perceived as being gay. It's like, honey, like, that's the best thing that could happen to you.
Honey, I can tell you that I probably missed up some opportunities to have hot gay sex when I was a teenager because of those Police Academy movies. Shame on you, Steve Guttenberg.
I know, it's like, you're like, oh, if I only would have known.
Anytime I can yell at Steve Guttenberg, it's always a good day, I think.
Oh my god. I think back, I probably had a young, like, teenage crush on Steve Guttenberg. I always watch movies with my mom, and she like watched like older movies. So I wasn't always watching kid stuff. And she like allowed me watch like rated R things at a certain age. So like, I remember just watching Steve Guttenberg and like so many things. And I just remember he was always like a dad figure. And I was like, I like him as a daddy. And now like think back, I'm like, oh girl, she's got daddy issues.
He played a gay character in Can't Stop the Music with Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh my god, yes, I remember that. And The Village People. That was a musical, right?
It's a musical film, yeah. Of the making of The Village People. It has nothing to do with The Village People, but it has Village People in it, and it stars Caitlyn Jenner, who went by a different name at the time, and and Steve Guttenberg playing music producer Jacques Morelli.
Oh my god, I remember that. I remember watching that as a young budding gay, watching it probably like in the middle of the night while my parents were asleep, like, let me watch all the gay films. And like probably watching that and being like, this is really gay.
It's so gay, I lost interest.
Yeah, I was like, let me turn back to Queer as Folk and see some hot on dude on dude action.
Baby. Nikki, yeah. I'm gonna have to look at Steve Guttenberg in tight shorts to get retro porn action.
Oh, totally. Steve Guttenberg always did it for me. Wasn't he in Total Recall?
Cocoon.
He was in Cocoon, yeah.
Yeah, he was in Cocoon, but also, what was the one with the robot? Wasn't he in the robot?
Short Circuit, yes.
Short Circuit, yes. Oh my god, that was one of my favorites.
Him and Ally Sheedy. Johnny Five is alive!
Yes. Like, he always did it for me in that one. Like, totally.
If you ever need to build a supercomputer, all you have to do is pour your soda on a computer during a lightning storm. That's all you got to do.
Oh, let's do that now.
Yeah, exactly. I missed my opportunity last week. Like, god damn it.
Yeah, I just pour this diet Pepsi and some Chromatica crumbs on my...
that's if you want a gay robot. If you want a gay robot... Oh my god. That's how you make a gay robot. That's probably how they made CP3O or CP.
She3PO.
She a ho.
She3PO. Exactly. Anthony, I tweeted that to Anthony Daniels and he blocked me on Twitter. He's like, so you are so terrible.
Oh, he was also in The Boys from Brazil. Have you ever seen that movie?
No. Oh, that's a Nazi.
No. He plays a Nazi hunter. And I don't want to give it away, but it involves Nazis and cloning and stuff like that. It's really, if you're a fan of Steve Guttenberg, it's he's young, he's in his prime, but you know, it's not a sexy film, but it is, you know, it's a thriller.
I can make it a sexy film. Steve Guttenberg's in it. I'm going to make
it. It's either on Amazon Prime or Netflix. I forget which one, but The Boys from Brazil, okay. Check it out.
Okay. Sure. Nikki, okay. We do need to wrap this up, but I'm dying to know if you could clone any hunk to be part of your sexual army of lovers to pleasure you consensually. Who would you like, wrap up in your clutches?
Oh my God, this is so, this is really hard.
And there's sexy so many. Question too, right?
I know.
But it would be many of the same person. So it's like,
yeah.
You know, Dr. Manhattan kind of did it already, you know? He was like multitasking and fucking his girlfriend at the same time.
Honestly, he the best power, everything. And also he can make things bigger and whenever you want it, you know? Yeah. Like that's the dream.
The dick fits always with Dr. Manhattan.
Always, you know.
But who would you choose? Who inspires you?
Wow. Jesus. Okay, so right now I've just been watching Luther. Which is like a British BBC TV show. And like, I'm just have the hots for, Idris Elba right now. So I probably would say Idris Elba also because he's got a British accent. So that's just like,
his voice makes him twice as sexy.
Oh my God. It's so good.
I even like, masturbated honestly, to him in Cats and that was really hard.
That's really hard. I mean, obviously it must have been hard.
What was the version that had a cat buttholes in it?
Oh, okay, there you go. Oh yeah, that makes it better. It was like that pink little starfish right there. It does it.
Oh, he's so fine. That almost made him the James Bond.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think he'd be a great James Bond.
No, I think I don't know. There was talk about it.
They still
have. I think it was
now they moved on from him. Now they want the Duke from Bridgerton to be the new James Bond.
Oh,
it's always somebody else is going to be the new James Bond.
Yeah, they just want somebody younger. But honestly, like I liked the thing I liked about Daniel Craig about it being James Bond was that he like would get in fights and he looked like he was still like had gotten a fight the next day.
Yeah.
Whereas like with like everyone else, they got in a fight. And the next day, they were just like, no scars, no nothing.
He always looks kind of beat up.
Yeah, he always looks beat up. And I was like, maybe he does look fresh, but he looks beat up.
I like
Go ahead. He was very trade. Like, that was very trade.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah. And his tight little body and his tight little suits, very well tailored. Yes. Like, there's not an inch to spare. It all has to be stretch material, I'm sure, to some degree.
I know. I want to be a seamstress. Like, if they have Idris Elba and they need a seamstress, I mean, I don't know how to make clothes, but
do you dress to the left or to the right? How much right in my mouth?
But I heard the most outrageous sex scene with James Bond was Grace Jones and Roger Moore in A View to a Kill. Where they did not get along with each other at all on the set. And she tried to like hurt him during the sex scenes. And he was like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, cause she was mad at him for some reason.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, honestly, you don't want Grace Jones on top of you pissed off.
Oh, hell no. She would totally whoop his ass.
You know what I'm saying? And that was when she was like in her prime.
Oh yeah, totally. And I mean, the woman still looks fucking amazing.
You know who she got cast in that film? Dolph Lundgren, her boyfriend at the time.
Yes. Oh
Those
my God.
Those two were fucking a lot.
Yeah. I mean, talk about like fucking opposites attract. Like
I don't know. They were like the super heroes of their genre.
They were honestly. That Did was you, like.
And he sings. There's stuff out here where
Dolph Lundgren is a singer.
He's a singer. Yeah.
Oh my God, I need
must
to find
break
that.
You. But first, a song.
I would hear that. Dolph Lundgren could get it. Oh my God, that's so funny.
Nikki, it's so much fun talking to you.
Oh my God, it's been so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I know. Come back anytime.
We had to do a multiple orgasms with you on this podcast, but I think audience enjoyed it as much as I did.
I hope so too. There's enough protein for everyone. Nikki Jizz has got you, baby.
You can flood my basement, honey.
Yes.
where do you live, by the way?
I live in San Francisco.
Okay.
I live in San Francisco.
What address so people can...
my address is 6669.
669 Satan's Way, Mark Zuckerberg's
exactly.
house. You live in Mark Zuckerberg's garage apartment.
Yes, he lives in my garage.
You're like, it's a very nice apartment.
It's a very nice apartment.
But there's no privacy.
I live right by the beach in the city, so yeah.
Oh, nice. Girl. What's staying with you?
Is that the nude beach, right? Yeah. Are they all nude beaches?
The thing is, it sounds... Like, living by the beach sounds nice anywhere else besides San Francisco because it's really cold and overcast. Mm. Honestly, I tell people, I'm like, oh, they're like, where do you live? I'm like, oh, I live by the beach. They're like, oh.
Oh, so it's like the house of sand and fog.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's really beautiful, but, like, at times it can be overcast. I had trade once. Like, I met this dude at a bar and we're, like, about to go back to my place. So I was like, oh, yeah, I want to go back to mine. He's like, yeah, let's do this. And then he's like, oh, where do you live? And I'm like, oh, I live in the Sunset. And the Sunset is where I live, like, right by the beach. And it's, like, maybe, like, a 15-20-minute drive. Like not that far. And he's like, oh. He's like, I don't know. I was like, I'll order you a car in the morning, like, back to your place. And he's like, yeah, that's just so far. And then he was like, some other time. And honestly, like, I was – so now I just tell people, I'm like, oh, I live just a few minutes. And then I'm like, get on the freeway. Go. I'm like, fuck it. But yeah, it's nice to look at the beach. So it's nice to have it.
We live a 10-minute walk to the gay beach. So here in Chicago. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Oh, I love Chicago. I was there a little right before this quarantine went. In fact, I believe I was in like November. I went out for a few gigs. Mm-hmm. Performed all up and down Halsted. And I love Chicago. It's really fucking amazing.
It's a great town. It's a great town.
That's probably the first place I'm going after things get better, for sure.
Now with 20% less racism.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
The pandemic ain't over yet, so nobody's back in the bars yet. But, you know.
We don't know if they made any changes or anything.
It's an invitation. Remember, when someone tells you you're racist, it's an invitation to be a better person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. It's time to show up and be like, you know, prove people wrong. Be like, I'm not racist, and actively work on being, like, you know, inclusive, and realize that racism is something that's inherent, and it's not something that, you know, like, you can't be like, oh, just because you say you aren't doesn't mean your actions and your subconscious doesn't allow you to be, you know, and do racist, you know, actions.
And there's no reverse racism, but there is reverse racism. Which is just regular racism.
Exactly. It's just regular racism. Yeah. And they're like, no. I'm like, it's not reverse racism. It's just, you're just racist. No, that's not happening.
Well, it's good talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, Nikki.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. Like, this was such a blast. I had a great time.
Thank you. We had a blast, too. Thank you.
See,
bye, no Miss Jizz.
Bye, honeys.
Don't
bye.
Forget to watch Mannequin.
Okay, I will. I'm going to be doing it. Mannequin.
I'll send you the link.
Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Nikki Jizz lives in San Francisco, California. You can check out her Instagram and put her on blast at Nikki, N-I-C-K-I underscore Jizz, like jazz with an I.
Yeah. Not to be confused with any other Nikki Jizzes.
Yeah, except no substitutions.
Or maybe search for Nikki Jazz. She might pop up somewhere around there, too.
Jazz hot baby and don't ever let it end.
I swear, I feel like Peaches did tell us that story about, maybe listeners out there might remember.
I don't think she said it on the air.
No.
I think that was a private conversation.
Really? About, I think she may have. I don't know. Maybe the listeners might remember the story about hiring the other Nikki Jizz instead of the Nikki Jizz you want.
Yeah, we probably should be saying, like, Mink stole cursed drag queens for stealing people's names.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and I don't think there's any betrayal of any kind of confidence in anything like that. It was just, you know, it was a conversation we had, and it's just like, because it's like, I forgot who it was. Didn't somebody want to call themselves,
Candy Darling.
Like, there's a famous, you know, trans person and performed as a drag queen as well. Candy Darling was part of the Warhol scene. It's just like, you really want to call yourself that?
You know? Yeah. And it's like, there's so much creativity. There's so many names. Come up with something clever.
Yeah.
You know?
Do it. not so
or call
hard.
Yourself, you know, Sharon Needles. Why not?
There's, what did Sharon say? There's one in every state, right? Yeah,
why not? You know, you could be something. My name is Maya Inez.
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your fierce, fabulous self. Go to feastoffun.com/plus and access thousands of legendary podcasts, or put some money for Feast of Fun tea and Cash App, Venmo, PayPal. Mail at Feast of Fun or at Feast of Fun on Venmo and PayPal, because there's no at for PayPal.
Yeah. And then join us at patreon.com/feastoffun.
Yes, darling. Mm-hmm. I'm no mathematician. All I know is addition. I find counting a bore, but the thing that excites me is the girls from the House of More.
Ooh.
More, more, more.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
More, more, more. Why don't you like it?
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.